If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome to Daily Roll Call on ConservativeNationMedia.com. I'm your host, Kathy Hinners. Our number to call in is 718-305-7176. And we are glad that you're joining us this evening. Maybe if you've got all your shopping done and there's nothing else to do, you should be sitting here listening to what the Muslims are up this week, I guess. I thought I'd start off, you know, a little bit different this week, and I tried to find some stories throughout the internet about potentially nice, uplifting stories that maybe the Islamists in the country had done. Not a whole lot of material on that, so it's going to be, I guess, business as usual. But it is just about a week before Christmas, and you know, we're kind of winding down here. So, you know, if you are home and you're not doing anything, give us a call. And we're going to be talking about a few different interesting things. Last week, we ran it by you about the American military and law enforcement. If anyone thought that they would disarm their own citizens, I've gotten a few emails back and forth about that, yes and no. So that was last week's discussion. And listen, you know, if you're still thinking about that and you still have some questions or a comment about that, feel free to call in. You know, you can call in a comment about anything. It's no big deal. We also looked at some of the ways that Sharia law is creeping into the country, and we didn't get to quite finish the list of how. Well, it changes every day, actually, but we didn't really get to finish that. And then also we're going to look at some of the people that, if we have time, we're going to look at some of the people that have been making news as far as the Islamists throughout the country. But tonight, what I think is probably on, well, I shouldn't say it's on everyone's mind, but it is all over the news, we're going to talk about Duck Dynasty and the fiasco and the rights of your religious beliefs. Before we get to that, if you have been on my website, which is dailyrollcall.com, you'll see that a lot of the same names that we write about, and in order to expose them, it is something that you really need to think about. If you are an activist or if you are just wanting to be involved, no matter where you are in your state, everyone has the same problem. You know, there's Muslim Brotherhood in every state. So you've got your, well, we call them Muslim Brotherhood paramours, if you will. Every state has them. So if we have time, I'd like to discuss some of the ones that, you know, are prevalent here in Tennessee and, you know, where to look for them. How do you find the Muslim Brotherhood organizations in your own cities, towns, villages, because they are in the small towns as well. So we got an email about, you know, how do you find these people? How do you know who they are and where they are? So we'll talk a little bit about that if we have time later on. But like I said, the big thing, you know, over the last day and a half has pretty much been this whole fiasco between A&E, the Arts and Entertainment Network, and the Duck Dynasty crew. You know, I guess the way the story goes, now, I've never seen it. I've never seen the show before. I've seen the commercials for it. It looks different. But, you know, it seems to be a good family. So apparently this week, if you haven't heard the news, if for some reason you're listening to me and you are nowhere understanding what I'm saying, it seems to be the news of the week, even more so than Obamacare for some reason, the patriarch of the Duck Dynasty family, Phil Robertson, has been placed on indefinite hiatus from the show on the A&E network. And that seems to be causing, you know, quite a stir. And I suppose as we get into this, rightfully so. I've never seen anything like this, though. I hear that it's wildly popular. And according to the evidence about the products in the stores that are affiliated with the show, you can definitely see that because their products, there's Duck Dynasty stuff practically in every store you go in. So from what I understand, the January 14th issue of GQ magazine is coming out next month, has interviewed Phil on his own land in Louisiana, on his own property, in his own home. They were invited to come in to his territory, and they started off by saying that he is a Bible thumper. Now, mind you, what a lot of folks have pointed out is that A&E knew who this guy was to begin with. They knew where he came from. They know his background. They know what he stands for. So nothing of this nature is new to A&E, particularly because in the very beginning, he would say a prayer and include the word Jesus, and I guess that had to be, that had to be taken out. So he gave them a hard time about that. So that was like the first, kind of evidence that they might have something down the road. But he starts off the interview with saying that he is a Bible thumper and how he found Jesus. And he comes from a very difficult past, the drugs and everything else. And but he said he found Jesus, and his whole family is gotten into this as well, which is great. If that's what you choose to do, clearly that is your prerogative. So the interview goes along, and the guy doing the interview, his name is Drew Magri, decides to pose a question. Now, this is further into the interview, and he poses this question: what in your mind is sinful? Well, this starts the whole thing. And I left out the very beginning of his answer. I just didn't think it was necessary to really talk about it. But he says, start with homosexual behavior and just morph out from there. Bestiality, sleeping around with this woman and that woman and that woman and these men. Then he paraphrases the Corinthians. Don't be deceived. Neither the adulterers, the idolaters, the male prostitutes, the homosexual offenders, the greedy, the drunkards, the slanderers, the swindlers, they won't inherit the kingdom of God. Don't deceive yourself is what has started this whole apparent storm. Now, there's a lot of different views. I've gotten a few emails from people who state, that they're Christian and they believe that. And that's fine. I mean, it's against the doctrine of your religion. I get that. However, we also have something called the First Amendment, and that is what he exercised. It was his First Amendment right. And the storm that's ensuing here has come from the gay and lesbian, well, they call it the gay, the lesbian, and the bi, I guess it's the bisexual, transgender group. And I'm not quite sure when this transgender and bisexual, I'm not sure when they started, coming into the field here, because, when you're talking about a gay and a lesbian, that's one issue. And then you talk about the transgenders, the guys who grew up thinking they're females and then, have the surgeries to remove parts and things like that. You know what? That to me doesn't even belong in the same sentence. That is just against all nature. I mean, how you feel about gay and lesbians is one thing, but then you have, the freaks. If you felt the need to add a body part or take away a body part, I don't know why I have to acknowledge you. That's not normal. And then the bisexual thing is kind of strange too. And I won't get into giving you my opinion about that. I don't know why, but I guess the bisexual is what, if you can't get it one way, you get it the other way. So, I guess that part is disturbing too, because it just seems like anything goes for those people. There is no, I'm either in love with man or in love with a woman. It's like, well, I go both ways. So, you know, those two, the bisexuals and the transgender people, they shouldn't even be figuring into an equation. It's difficult, I think, enough for people to get their arms around, you know, the fact that there's gays and lesbians here and that are, you know, part of society or whatever. But the other two groups, I don't know why they're attaching themselves to that. But the fact is they did. So this group, GLAAD, I don't know. I couldn't find what it stands for. And the LGBT advocates, and that, I guess, is the new term, the new buzzword, LGBT, called and just said that these were some of the vilest and most extreme uttered comments against the community, their community, littered with outdated stereotypes and blatant misinformation. Well, first of all, I don't know about what misinformation. You know, they're making the guy sound like he's from a cave, and just because he doesn't agree with their lifestyle, you know, so not sure that that's appropriate to begin with. But on a real quick note here, I want to tell you about all of us at Conservative Nation Media are proud to bring you our second annual Christmas Eve Music and Kids Extravaganza special on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, starting at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central on Christmas Eve. You can listen to hours of great traditional American Christmas music live or download it to listen when you need to be reminded of the true glory and meaning of Christmas. And you can only get it from our website, conservativenationmedia.com. Don't forget to have your kids write Santa a letter from our website, or go to Santa Claus at conservativenationmedia.com, and Santa will send back a personalized email within 48 hours. From all of us here at Conservative Nation Media to all of you, the warmest and most joyous Merry Christmas, and thank you for listening. All right, you are listening to Daily Roll Call with Kathy Henners. Our number to call in is 718-305-7176. And this is kind of a difficult subject, but you got to know, if you've been listening to me, that everything I talk about, there always is that Islamist connection. There's always going to be a Muslim connection to it. So just hear me out a little bit here as we progress through here. But for those of you that are just kind of coming on and tuning in, we basically are talking about what he has said, you know, what Phil Robertson said, which, you know, he compared the act of homosexuality to bestiality. I guess that's the part that gets them, that's really most offensive to them. But, you know, I guess what the issue is here is that the freedom of speech, if you don't like what he says, put the magazine down. If you don't like what the TV show stands for, turn it off. Nobody is forcing you to watch or to listen to Phil Robertson. That is his opinion. That is what the show is about. But they've kind of painted him as some, you know, some cave dweller, and he's got these outdated stereotypes. Well, what are the new and improved versions of this? I guess this is what I you know, is there a new type of homosexual out there? I mean, we just talked about the bisexuals and the transgenders, and that's being basically, you know, excuse me, but thrown down your throat. So, you know, I don't know why it's put out there that we have to tolerate this, all right? So anyway, we got this LGB community who is just all out crazy about what Phil Robertson has been saying. But when you start looking on the Internet, the interesting thing about this is that the Christian community is taking the brunt of this. That is what I have found from emails and different articles online. There are articles all over the Internet talking about the intolerance of Christians. Now get this, especially those in the South. You know, they're from Louisiana, and so now it's being painted this, you know, again, this picture of Southerners that are just so intolerant and so backwards, and, you know, how could they not accept these people, and blah, blah, blah. But this is who seems to be getting the brunt of it. Now, what's really interesting, that all of a sudden now, you know, for years, the Muslims in this country have been very outspoken about homosexuality. And I've got three audio clips that I'm going to be playing for you in a few minutes. So I want you to stick around so you can hear these audio clips and just see where your tolerance level is here. But we are going to take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the Muslims that have been speaking out against Islam, but not really. We'll be back.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is, because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org, because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
All right. Welcome back to Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com. I am Kathy Henners, your host. Number to give us a call is 718-305-7176. We are talking about the Duck Dynasty fiasco and how the Muslims are fitting into this picture, because you know with me, they're always going to fit in somehow. But amazingly enough, homosexuals have, for some reason, have partnered with the Muslims. A lot of the groups have formed together and become, you know, like these separate little groups to support each other. But I've always been interested in why the gays are linking themselves to Muslim groups. I guess maybe it's because they're desperate to have any group, especially as large as a the Muslim population is here in this country. But it doesn't really make sense, because the Muslims have stated over and over again that homosexuals need to die. So, you know, they're coming out against all these other groups. The homosexuals are coming out against everybody. You know, the Christians, particularly in the South, are so intolerant, blah, blah, blah. But where is GLAAD and the LGBT people in regards to what the Muslims are saying? I don't quite understand that, you know, it is against the doctrine of Islam to even tolerate a gay person. So why they're joining together, why they're forming forces together is beyond me, and you'll see it a lot. And it comes a lot from these interfaith forums, if you will. You know, there's a lot of homosexual leaders of religious groups or churches, and they can't get to the Muslim groups fast enough. So it's kind of like a scratch-your-head moment. It's like, well, what are they thinking? You know, why are they joining forces like this? Now, the first audio that I want you to listen to is from a guy called Yasser Qadhi. He was born here – well, he was born in Houston, Texas, and resides in Memphis, Tennessee. He's been named by New York Times Magazine for several different years as one of the top Muslim leaders in this country, and they named him the most influential, one of the most influential conservative clerics in American Islam. He's recognized internationally for his writing and speeches. He's just the bad part about which nobody seems to understand is that he's a radical. He's working. He's the dean of academic affairs and an instructor for the Al Maghrib Institute. So he's from Houston, but he resides in Memphis. He speaks internationally. He's very well known. Folks in the Nashville, some of our Islamist women in the Nashville area seem to love this guy. But he's a radical. He's a total radical. And this is what he has had to say about homosexuals. Take a listen to this. Guess we're going to be able to play that for you tonight. But basically what he's saying is that the homosexual is against their religion. It's against their law. And that they should not be tolerated, and that, you know, Allah does not tolerate something to that effect.
We believe homosexuality is a sin. It is a crime against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are we going to do something against homosexuals? No, we're not. This is not our country or our land.
So there you go. You know, he's just damning homosexuals, but it doesn't matter because they're tolerating them right now. You know, outside of the scope of these enclosed jumas, which are Friday prayers, the sermons that they're giving about homosexuals, none of that seems to matter. The homosexuals are running to the Muslims for whatever reason. So here you got Yasser Qadri, who is a very well-known, you know, intelligent person, conservative, mind you, is what the New York Times Magazine labeled him as. Now, I'm not quite sure how conservative that was. So we've got another guy by the name of Awad bin Hazm is also considered to be a prominent Islamic leader in this country, particularly in the state of Tennessee. He's a Muslim chaplain. Now get this. He's the Muslim chaplain at Vanderbilt University, one of the biggest universities in the state of Texas, which is a volunteer position. The Muslim chaplain is a volunteer position. Now, it was at one point, I believe, known that he was a professor of Islam at the college, but they have pulled themselves away, and they state that he is not a professor of Islam and he's not associated with Vanderbilt University Divinity School, but he does have an adjunct associate professor status at the University Medical Center in pathology. So he does have some relationship with Vanderbilt. But when he speaks out against things such as homosexuality, they pull themselves right away. They say that the position that he does carry at Vanderbilt is not a teaching or it has no teaching or research responsibilities, and it's also unpaid. So I guess that cleanses them. You know, I guess that makes them feel better that the guy that they hired because they said he was a brilliant Muslim and he's brilliant and he's a great person. Turns out to be a very anti-Christian, very anti-Jew, very anti-homosexual. And once they heard this, they kind of like, whoa, you know, time to go, time to get rid of him. So this Adwa bin Hazm is at a big forum that was back in January of 2011, might have been 2010. He responded to a question from a student who was the vice president of the chapter of it's a very conservative group called the Youth for Western Civilization. And this kid came out and asked him, you know, if Sharia law dictates that you must kill homosexuals, how do you deal with that? And he didn't know what to do. He squirmed. It's on YouTube. It's really kind of interesting to watch, but it is on YouTube. And he says that he has to go with what Islam teaches. And that, so the kid rephrased the question again, and he said it again, I have to go with what Islam teaches regarding the imposition of capital punishment on practicing homosexuals. So then this is the part that kind of went all over, I think it went viral. This is what Mr. bin Hazm had to say. Let's see if we can get this one to work.
Under Islamic law, is it punishable by death if you are homosexual?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. The kid poses the question, the very simple question. I hope that you could hear that. You know, is the penalty for homosexuality under Islamic law punishable by death? And he finally just said, yes, it is punishable by death. So Vanderbilt just kind of went crazy and pulled themselves away from him with the above statement that he, you know, he's not really here. He doesn't really work here. He's unpaid. But, oh, by the way, he does work over in that part of the university. But, you know, people couldn't really get away from him fast enough. There's your second example of how the Islamists in this country are dealing with homosexuality. So, you know, on one face of it, on these interfaith forums, they're God's creatures and they're just like us and we embrace them. And they are embracing them. They have brought the Muslim community close to them. And then they go and they make these speeches and they come out with these outrageous, you know, death to homosexuals. And, you know, these homosexuals are still backing them instead of turning around and blaming the Christians for what's going on, you know, with Phil Robertson. Let's talk about what the Muslims are doing. Another example, and you can go to this website yourself, and I would recommend, and we've talked about this website, you know, different times. It's called SoundVision. It was founded and is run by the majority of Muslim Brotherhood members. There's no doubt about it. The founder is a Muslim Brotherhood. Most of the writers and researchers, Jamal Badaway is involved with SoundVision, who is clearly Muslim Brotherhood. The scary part is that this website is often recommended as a valuable resource for educators in the United States on various Islamic topics. A lot of groups, the Islamic Network group, who has speakers throughout the state or throughout the country, rather, that go educate teachers and administrators on Islam, they recommend SoundVision. And they say, you know, if you ever need any type of booklets or just literature on Islam or opinions or just, you know, writings or how do you get religious accommodations in your public schools, go to SoundVision and the templates are there and the, you know, the samples of how to write a letter to a principal or how to address a school board, all those letters are there for you. So when you go onto the site and you start looking around, you come up with some fascinating articles, and they're not very good. It's filled with articles written by staff members for Muslim parents as well as for the educators, non-Muslim educators in this country, and they write about everything, how to address your children, and including homosexuality. So one of their articles, and they don't tell you who wrote this article, but they put the article out there. And it says, to just say it is haram, which means illegal, not permissible within the religion of Islam, to just say it is haram will not usually satisfy Muslim children, especially those who are used to questioning, discussion, and debate. One point that has to be emphasized is that since Allah is the creator of human beings, who created us out of nothing, He knows best what our true needs and desires are. He also knows what is good and bad for us. He sees everything. He knows everything and is the wisest and most merciful. Therefore, the fact that he is telling us homosexuality is wrong, just as he tells us consuming alcohol is wrong, for example, means that we must heed his warning. What can also be done to explain the harms associated with homosexuality includes diseases like AIDS, the fact that this kind of sexual relationship does nothing to advance human civilization, and in other words, homosexuals do not even procreate. This point is important because one of the main aims of sex is to produce children in order to continue human life. Homosexuality does not yield any children. It is a relationship purely for the sake of pleasure, which is not only unnatural, but leads to death and disease. And they actually kind of really exaggerate the disease and death part there. If people were born to commit homosexual acts, Allah, who is most merciful, would not have destroyed the prophet Lut. These people had an opportunity to change. They did not, and Allah destroyed them. And then there is the Islamic Thinker Society. You guys are going to love this. That quote, that was all from an actual article on Sound Vision. Now, according to a lot of religious doctrines, I mean, you know, Christians, you know, it is against our beliefs. There's no point about, you know, about going around about that. It is against most people's beliefs. So the majority of what I just said resonates with that. And that's fine. I get that. I believe that. To me, is do what you will. Just don't push it on me. You know, I don't approve of it, whatever. But, you know, when they're basically saying that Allah will destroy you. He destroyed the community of the prophet Lut, who was a sinner, and he will destroy homosexuals. And again, how they stress the disease and the death to homosexuals. So there's a lot more to that article. I just wanted to point out just a few of those things to that. So that, again, is Sound Vision. And you can go on there and you can see how they explain homosexuality, you know, to their children, which is fine. And that's not the whole purpose of this conversation this evening. So that part is fine, but it's the fact that they are the dual face, you know, with the Muslims and then behind their back. So before I get into the third audio here, which is really, 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 really bad, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll get back into this.
Go, Caleb!
Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Obvious. Oh, hey, guys. Did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that.
I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
Welcome back to conservativenationmedia.com. This is Daily Roll Call. I'm your host, Kathy Hinners. Number to give us a call is 718-305-7176. We have been talking about the Duck Dynasty fiasco that seems to be everywhere you turn. There's something to do with the Duck Commander, and rightfully so. I guess what it all comes down to is that he's being persecuted for religious beliefs, and any other group, and we always talk about the Muslims, they would not have been, I'm willing to bet you, they would have not been chastised or put on hiatus or removed from a show for quoting from the Quran. You know, so here we go again. This is just another unbalance to the whole justice of you know what this country is founded on, and you know they stand to be the losers. A&E stands to be the losers here. So I think at this point the A&E needs the Robertson family probably more so than the other way around. So was it a knee-jerk reaction? Probably. You know, how many phone calls did they get? You know, was it based on just two groups, the group called GLAAD and then the LGBT group? Was that what they based their whole reasoning on for this? Because it really seems that it's turned around. It's turned basically around the other way against them, where they're going to be the losers. You're talking a show that has 15 million viewers. So that's a lot. That is a lot. So before the break, we've been talking about, you know, the hypocrisy related to Islam, and it isn't just with homosexualities. It's basically with everything. But you know, to the face of a homosexual, they embrace them, they tolerate them, they say, you know, that they are human beings. They give them the whole line, which is true. I'm not saying that they're not. But the relationship between a Muslim and a homosexual is not always what they say it is. So we've played you a couple of audio clips from well-known Muslims in this country. And according to the New York Times Magazine, you know, very professional, very conservative, very well-thought-of people in their business. And, you know, that the things they say behind closed doors are quite different than what the Huffington Post or the New York Times seems to report. So this third clip here, I'll set this up a little bit. We've talked in the past about the Muslim Day Parade. I think I've told you, you know, how I've been there and have actually witnessed some, and to the, you know, what degree, how it's disgusting, and you know, whatever. So I think it was 3 years ago, I want to say about 3 years ago, there's a group called the Islamist Thinker Society, and they are a very, very radical group, and they like to take over the parade. They like to be the more radical, the more outspoken, more outrageous people at the parade. But they also, you'll find them on corners throughout Manhattan with signs, and they're anti-everything. And so we just so happen to have a clip of them, and I hope that this part's not clear. The very first part might be a little garbled because they are on the streets of Manhattan yelling, you know, homosexualities or homosexuals are no good, blah, blah, blah. Actually, this was taken from the movie The Third Jihad. And then the second part of the clip is very, very clear. So let me, I'll let you listen to this, and then we'll go on a little bit further.
هذا فساد كبير
الله
هذا فساد كبير
Sometimes we are blunt when the Islamic ruling system is established, like you said, we got to give them a choice. We got to consult them, give them choice of therapy, and tell them to abandon their homosexual lifestyle. And if they don't, either leave, or if you want to be here, then we get, you're going to be face the punishment as a criminal.
What's the punishment?
Of throwing off a cliff when you have a homosexual sodomy.
Throwing them off a cliff. Now, I guess the first thing that really annoys me out of that whole clip, and it's really not even about homosexuals, but when the guy says, you know, if you want to stay here, excuse me, what do you mean if you want to stay here? This is my country. Okay, but so we're talking about homosexuals, so I won't put my two cents spin on that. But anyway, in the very beginning, it's a guy with a megaphone. And there's a group of them, and they're standing there, you know, telling homosexuals as they're probably walking by that they are sinners and they're disgusting and that they will never be thought of by Muslims as anything else. Muslims will not accept them. And then it goes, there's some Arabic in between, obviously. And then this kid, Abu Mujahideen from the Islamic Thinkers Society. And, you know, quite clearly, you know, he says, when we start, when Islamic, how does he word that? When Islamic law takes over, you know, they'll be thrown off a cliff. Well, you can't get much clearer than that. That wasn't like edited or, you know, when you see that the actual clip of it, there's no Photoshop. It's really them. And that's what they're really saying. And this is what I guess fails. What is in the minds of the homosexuals to be embracing the Muslim community? I just don't get it, you know, because they're the ones that are going to like throw them off a cliff or chop their heads off or hang them. You know, Iran is very well known for hanging homosexuals and stoning the women to death and things like that. So I'm very curious as to why the gay community embraces the Muslim one. So to me, that all three of those clips actually are much more vile than what Phil Robertson said. I don't think that, you know, he probably articulated what he really wanted to say about homosexuals the right way. So I guess I wouldn't use him as a spokesman for anything. But they knew that. A&E knew very well that this guy is not articulate. He's going to say what's on his mind, no matter what the subject. So, you know, for them to do what they've done is really kind of, I think, overkill. You know, a show that has over, well, they say between 14 and 15 million viewers every week, in whose lead characters are Christian, it's just crazy. They have a mammoth, platform. So you got to wonder about, you know, this whole, where are the Muslims in this? You know, and of course, I believe that the Muslims are behind this. Because when you look at the whole thing, you know, with the 14 to 15 million viewers every week, the leading character is a Christian. The entire family is very Christian. They reference the Bible a lot during the show. They have a mammoth platform. The Muslims aren't going to tolerate that. They're not going to tolerate that many viewers looking at a show that has Christians, blatant Christians in it. They can't afford to have 14 million viewers hearing the word of God through a duck-loving Christian mouth. So as soon as he makes a statement, and they probably have been sitting back waiting for him to make a statement, no matter how trivial, they're going to be gone. And, you know, from what we know, it was probably GLAAD or the other organization that made the calls or letters or whatever they did. But behind that, probably the push from the Muslims. Now, if you remember, the Muslims had a show on A&E. I can't remember the name of it. Muslim Family or Simpsons. No, it wasn't the Simpsons. Oh, anyway. Anyway, America is still the freest country on earth. And those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away. And our constitutional expert, Matthew Walpowski, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. That's the Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Walpowski, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. And, you know, speaking of the Constitution, that's exactly what we have here. We have a fight for the freedom of religion and the freedom of speech. And they don't do this. They do not do this to Muslims. So they have the American Muslim show on TV. It didn't go over well at all. So, you know, the ratings went down. Sponsors started pulling out. Lowe's was one of them. Lowe's was one of the bigger ones. And then the boycotts, you know, the Muslims, oh, boycott Lowe's. They, you know, made our show go to hell. Well, and then like a month later, half of them were arrested for smoking pot. Oh, that's a good Muslim. He's getting stoned. That's really against, you know, that's what Allah believes in, you know. So you got to wonder, you know, really about their hypocrisy and what their doctrine really says and how much of it they actually, you know, follow through on. But it's disgusting that it's gone this far over something that this guy said. You don't like it, turn it off. You don't want to read it, throw the book away. You know, the Muslims are doing things every day that are offensive to Christians, killing them. Let's not even talk about the fact that they're killing Christians, just offending them. All right. Well, anyway, we'll get back to that in a little bit. But I have this really weird thought. And, you know, I don't think it's, you know, conspiracy or anything like that. Ah, but it's time for a break. So I'm going to give you that thought when we come back in just a minute.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Now here's it's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wives Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wives Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
This is Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com. I'm Kathy Hinders, your host. Number to call in, 718-305-7176. Seems to me that there's an awful lot of people out there Christmas shopping tonight not listening to what's happening in the Muslim world. That's okay. We'll get back into the swing of things, I'm sure, in January. But anyway, right before the break, I was telling you about this weird thought that I had. And I don't know, I'll just put this out there to you, but I just think that it's interesting that so many states and cities across the country are allowing gay marriages to occur. So then look at it from the Muslim perspective. We know the Muslims' goal is to purify Islam by creating the global caliphate or the Islamic State, whichever you want to call it. We know that according to the Quran, homosexuality is considered a sin, punishable by death under Sharia law. You've heard that twice tonight. So someday, when Islamic law is in place, and hopefully it is not, but we're not doing real well with that, the UK is experiencing it right now, the goal will be to rid society of anyone that is gay. Well, what a better way to have a list of who's gay in the country. The cities and towns and, you know, villages across America are registering, you know, if it's legal, you register in City Hall just like a you know, heterosexual couple would. And so, boom, there you go. They've got your name. They've got your addresses. They've got all the information on you. So, man, you're going to be really easy to find. You know, boop, there he is. We've recognized 36 gay marriages in this little town, and here's their names and addresses. You know, and is that probably the case? No, but it's fascinated me, you know, that this is happening at such a large rate, that the you know, gay marriages are being accepted as readily as they are. Whether you agree with it or not is not the question tonight. We're talking about, you know, Phil Robertson. So anyway, that is that has pretty much been the news of the day, last day and a half, or actually a couple of days. You know, here you go, punishing some guy who has just basically given his belief. I think, like I said before, I think the biggest thing was that he compared homosexuality to bestiality. But if it's about offending people, it isn't against the law to offend people. Oh, it's going to be. We've talked about that in great length. I'm not going to get into that again tonight. But the defamation of religion law, it will be against the law to offend people. But right now, the way that our country is right now, it is not. So this thing about offending anybody, if they don't like what you say, they label you. Why is that fair? I'm not a hater. I don't hate people. I hate what people do. I'm not a bigot. I'm certainly not a racist. So there's a lot of things that, you know, again, it's that dualistic mentality of this religion that is just so attractive right now to the gays who seem to be just going to these larger Muslim groups, whether it certainly isn't for protection, or I hope it isn't for protection, you know, but, you know, especially I see it all the time in the Nashville area, you know, they've befriended these Muslim groups, these interfaith groups, and some of the Islamists that we talk about all the time in Nashville. It's like, it just doesn't make sense to me. You know, they need to open their eyes. They need to see that this is what people, the Muslim community, is talking about behind closed doors. They're going to kill you. There's nothing more to it than that. So now, what's really interesting, the timing of this, is that the Muslim Brotherhood Hamas group CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, has just released their report on bullying against Muslim children in the schools of California. Now, this is the silliest report I've seen in a long time. But anyway, here the Muslims are, you know, they're proclaiming they're constantly picked on, they're harassed, they're beaten up, they're threatened. But yet then they outwardly state they're going to kill a homosexual. You know, it's like, what? What did you just say? The guy says, I'm going to throw you off a cliff if you don't change. And they're worried about getting picked on, you know, so that the tide is yet to turn on this, but, you know, to take a brief look at the report, and the report will be available on my website. It is not up as of yet, but it will be there, dailyrollcall.com. It'll probably be under the document tab, so if you get a chance to check that out, please do. And also, if you do go to the website, if you go back probably a month, you'll see one of the posts about homosexuals more in depth, you know, the different articles that have been written, you know, by these Muslim scholars or whatever you want to call them. So, you know, take a look at that, because there are some really interesting things in there as well. All right, so this report, this is what's kind of comical about this report. They talked to, and this is the state of California, 471 Muslim students attending public schools. That's 471 students out of 21 counties. So they say nearly half of the Muslims in California have been bullied. I just don't know who's doing their math. It does not add up. But anyway, so we're talking 471 Muslims that were asked questions regarding the bullying in schools, and the ages of the students were anywhere from 11 to 18. So through the survey, CARE sought to understand how uncomfortable or how comfortable American Muslim students felt attending their schools. We've had this discussion before. If you're not comfortable in a school as a parent, if you're not comfortable sending your kids to a public school, then don't send them there. You've got your own school. If you want your child to grow up learning the values and the doctrine of your religion, you don't send them to a public school. Send them to whether it's a Catholic school, a Hebrew school, or an Islamic school. All right, anyway, so they go on and they do this. They ask these students, you know, questions, and I'll tell you some of these questions in just a second. But it says most of the respondents came from areas of California with large and robust Muslim populations, such as Orange County and Santa Clara County. They go on to say that while many respondents indicated that they simply internalized the anti-Muslim name-calling from peers, such as getting called Osama bin Laden or terrorist, many indicated that they did not have a long-lasting effect on them. So CARE goes in and does this big survey, hoping, I suppose, to get the fact that the children are just devastated. And from what I've read of this report, that is not the case. Just doesn't seem to be the case. So it says, as evidenced by the findings in this report, there are still significant issues facing American Muslim youth at school. They say the majority of school-related cases reported to CARE involved teacher discrimination. So it's really not the kids, it's the teachers. Bad, bad teachers. Anyway, more than 10% of American students reported physical bullying, such as slapping, kicking, or punching. Oh, man, they could have never made it in my grade school. I was flat out punched in the face by some black girl because I made fun of her sister because I think it was because she was staying back. You know, you get that report card and the dreaded report card, and it's like you didn't, you know, go to the next grade or whatever. And I think all I did was say, you know, I don't even think I said ha-ha because I wasn't a mean little kid, but I think I just said something that you're not going to the next grade. And then on lunchtime, whoa, this big boom right in the face. I was like, whoa, what the heck? So they have no idea what grade schools used to be like. You know what? If you had a fight, you fought. You got it out of your system and you did what you had to do. You kicked butt. If you didn't kick butt, you were a wuss and then you lost the fight. No big deal. Well, now it's like, are you kidding me? I got slapped or kicked. Oh, my God. And then they asked the female students, you know, the girls that wear the hijab or the Islamic headscarf, if their scarf was ever tugged or pulled on. Are you kidding me again? You know, and this isn't fair to the children. I don't care about the adult females. I don't care about their hijabs. But you're sending these little people with this huge, silly scarf on their head that covers their little head completely. Girls love their hair, but oh, you got to cover it completely. And they send them to school like this, and they look different. Of course they look different. They're made to look different. You know, be proud of what you are. But mom, I got this huge scarf. It like weighs 1,000 pounds. It makes me look stupid. And you're going to wear it. They don't think about the children. You tell me what six-year-old cares about looking religious. You know, I could be completely wrong, but not in the grade school I went to. When I went to a Catholic grade school, and it was all about fitting in. And it was all about being the same, and I guess it's still the same. I don't think kids have changed that much. But it's like, you know, you set your kids up. You know, I mean, I don't know how religious it can be at 6 years old or 7 years old. You know, you start getting in high school, you start making your decision that you choose to be a modest person, and this is the way you're going to go. You know, what little kid hasn't had something pulled or, you know, pulled at or pulled off or something? I mean, we did terrible things to kids in school, and it wasn't considered bullying. It was like we were just jerks. Get over it. You know, and I mean, we all grew up okay, normal. Well, some people would say not, but, you know, I mean, I don't have two heads. Most of the people I went to school with don't have two heads. But we took being offended, and you learned from it. You know, you just grew more character, if you will. But now, you know, they're asking little kids, has your hijab ever been tugged at or pulled? And that's bullying? The kids are going to do that. I'm sorry. You know, and even when you see, you know, the older women wearing the full burqas or the hijabs, that's not normal. You don't go to a beach with a hijab. Anyway, continue this on the other side.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie signed a modified version of the DREAM Act today. The bill allows students who grew up in New Jersey but are in the U.S. illegally to be able to pay in-state tuition at public colleges and universities. Here's Christie talking about the bill today.
This is what compromise looks like. Sometimes it's quiet, sometimes it's loud, but you can do both at the same time. You can have public arguments about a particular piece of legislation or policy position, and at the same time be having quiet private conversations where you say, how are we going to bring people together to get this done?
One provision that Christie did strike down would have made students eligible for state financial aid programs, including tuition aid grants, but Democrats agreed to concur with the conditional veto. Getting the bill done before January is important, supporters said, so the students can pay the in-state rates starting next semester. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
So you're giving up, just like that?
Giving up on what?
On getting an inheritance from a distant relative.
Don't you think if there were a billionaire in the family, we'd know about it by now?
Listen to me, we are one phone call away from riding horses on our own private polo ground. One call from christening yachts, having a butler, using summer as a verb.
How do you figure?
Look, everyone's got a rich uncle somewhere. It's statistics. So the best thing you can do is just prepare for the inevitable.
Right, which is why I thought maybe it would be smart to take control of my finances. You know, start using a budget, get out of debt, set some retirement goals.
Budgets? Debt? You watch your mouth. Retirement shouldn't be a goal for us. It should be a way of life.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of Daily Roll Call on ConservativeNationMedia.com. This is Kathy Hinners, your host. Number to call in, 718-305-7176. And we have been talking about the Duck Dynasty fiasco and, you know, the repercussions that A&E is obviously already facing and probably the ones that they're going to be facing, because it's pretty well known, or it seems known, that the entire family is going to back the patriarch of the show and probably walk out with him. So they're losing 14 to 15 million viewers a week on the show, and they are losing one of the most popular shows that has hit A&E in years. So was it a knee-jerk reaction for something that he said? I think so. You know, I think that they overreacted. They took probably a few phone calls. But again, like we talked about, the Muslims may have been behind that, which would not surprise me at all. So this has led to talking about the report that has come out in California, that CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, has come out with this report about bullying of their children in schools. And really, when you read the report, there is no smoking gun here. There is not a whole lot of issues as far as percentages go with what the children are telling them. So I'm not really sure what the whole point of this report was, other than to make a point. But their point is kind of irrelevant because the numbers aren't there. They talked to 471 kids out of 21 counties, and are Muslim students. So that's, you know, not a whole lot. But anyway, one of the questions was, have you ever been slapped, kicked, punched, or hit because someone did not like your religion? 87% said never. Okay, so obviously it's not a problem. If you wear hijab, have you ever had your hijab tugged, pulled, or in any way offensively touched? How do you offensively touch a hijab? That's just weird. But 69% said never. Okay. Has anyone at school made mean comments to you or spread rumors about you because of your religion? Well, 47% said never. 25% said rarely. So that still isn't glaring. Has anyone from school made mean or offensive comments to you about your religion through emails? 75% said never. I wonder if these were the figures that they were hoping to come up with, because now it's like, I just don't understand, you know, what the big deal is with this report and bullying. I mean, technically, you know, the numbers maybe should be zero, but, you know, you're talking a high rate here, 75%. These kids aren't offended. It's the parents that are offended. And so, you know, it just goes on. Have you received insults or name-calling? 51% said never. Apparently, they aren't any great names if they do get called them. Slapping, kicking, or punching, 63% said never. And interestingly enough, telling my parents that I was harassed, it looks like 31% said never, 27% couldn't answer, and then very often don't tell my parents was 14%. So the numbers, I guess I don't understand the waste of time and the way, you know, that this report was kind of rolled out was a big deal, you know, and the numbers just aren't there. But then you go further, you look a little further into this, and you see, oh, maybe here is the reason why this report has come out. Because CARE says that this report seeks to raise the awareness of the both among American Muslims and the public at large of the complex and often difficult issues that American Muslim students face at school. Well, according to the numbers, it doesn't appear to be a problem with the kids. So I don't really know what they're talking about. But then furtherwise, it says, likewise, members of the public require greater understanding of the challenges of American Muslim youth. Why do I require that? See, this is what it's all about. It's about the dawah. It's about the proselytizing of Islam. And this is how they're getting the bullying into school. The numbers aren't there. The kids weren't offended. The kids aren't having a hard time because they're being called bad names, because apparently, according to the majority of them, they are not suffering in that respect. The numbers aren't there. So I don't know if you just didn't pick the right kids to talk to, you know, or what, but, you know, then when you start looking at the report, you can almost see where, okay, this is the plan. You know, if you tell people that there's bullying going on in school, everybody kind of gets into a tizzy and rushes, oh, we got to fix the problem, we got to fix the problem, what needs to be done? And, of course, the Muslims are going to say, well, your teachers need sensitivity training. Your administrators need sensitivity training. So we're going to come into the school and we're going to do that. Well, by all accounts, from the numbers here, it doesn't appear that that is a problem. But the parents and CARE are going to make it the problem. So when you look at this, the you know, after the questions are posed and you start looking through the report a little bit more, it is all about the accommodations, because it states religious accommodations at public schools. And it comes back to the parents, because parents have had to contact CARE for advice on how to request religious accommodations for their children enrolled in public schools. For instance, Muslims are religiously obligated to pray 5 times a day. That is not so. That is not so. It is a desire to pray 5 times a day, but it is not needed to pray 5 times a day. They can make up the prayers, people. So that right off the bat is wrong. Students may wish to take breaks during the day to carry out their prayers. Many young Muslim women choose to begin wearing the hijab while they are still school age. Those young women may want to find out how they can remain in compliance with school dress codes and uniform requirements and still fulfill their religious practice. They may also require alternative educational activities for physical education, such as swimming and square dancing. Square dancing? You do square dancing for phys ed in school? Are you kidding? That's what's wrong right there. That's got to be like a California thing. Like square dancing? Are you serious? Okay, anyway, back to the phys ed part. Okay, so they have to have a separate area to swim in. The girls can't swim with the boys, you know, the modesty issue. So let's see here. It says parents may also wish to remove their child from school to celebrate the holidays, even though the Muslim holiday is not part of the regular school calendar. And they are trying. In several states, Maryland was the last one, I believe, that they're trying to get the religious holidays, their religious holidays, on the calendar. And it always comes down to, well, the Jews and the Christians have their holidays off. Well, now we got to look at every religion in a public school. The kids won't even be in school. They'll have, like, every day off if we start accommodating every religion. This is crazy. All right, we've got to take a break here. ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. So, see, this is the problem. It isn't the kids. And this is why I guess I'm really surprised that CARE went through and did this ridiculous survey of children. Because the kids are coming back like, hey, we're just kids. We don't care. You know, and kids are kids. We've said that. But it's the parents, you know, so you start honing on the real issue here. They're going to now start calling these things bullying when it's not bullying. And yes, bullying does go on. Real bullying does go on in school, I'm sure. You know, and we've seen tragic outcomes from that. And that's horrific. That's horrifying that children hurt themselves or kill themselves because of bullying. But I take offense when they ask the questions, has your hijab ever been tugged on? You know, we're talking kids kill themselves because of the real issues, the real bullying, the real harassment. And yet they're worried about, you know, is somebody calling you Osama bin Laden? I mean, come on. This is just nothing more than another way to try to get their proselytizing, their dawah, into public schools. You know, I understand to a point a religion would require their children to be out of school. Does that necessarily mean that the entire school system has to shut down for that holiday? I mean, you know, one holiday lasts for 10 days. I mean, the kids will love it, but it's not so much conducive to what we do. So that doesn't happen. So here we go again, where, you know, they're coming in through a back door, if you will. And instead of, you know, making a report about the truth or what they really want, they're going to use the kids. The kids have nothing to do with it. It's right here in numbers. You can go, you can check out the report online yourself. And like I said, it'll be on my website, but you can always just Google. It's called Growing in Faith. a California Muslim youth experience with bullying, harassment, and religious accommodation. Well, there you go. It should be growing in faith in the religious accommodation, because so far we haven't seen bullying or harassment. The kids are saying, no, this really didn't happen. So why CARE has done this, I'm not sure, because they're like, busted. But this is silly. You know, this is just pure propaganda, once again, at its best. So it's just, all right, we'll come back with more on this. We're going to look at some of the holidays that they want to talk about, the excuses, the assignments, and things like that. So stick with us. We'll be back after this break.
You're listening to Conservative Nation Radio, where we still say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing!
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person. I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 Eastern, 7 Central, ConservativeNationMedia.com.
Welcome back to Daily Roll Call on ConservativeNationMedia.com. I'm Kathy Hinners, your host. Number to call in is 718-305-7176, and we are talking about, in this particular hour, about the report that CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, has just released as of today regarding bullying of their students in school in California. And so going through the report, you look at it and you say, what bullying? You know, they're questioning their kids, and the kids are coming back with large percentages. They weren't offended. It didn't happen. Nope. Did somebody call you this name in school today? And 87% said no. So the numbers are wrong. But once again, it comes down to the fact that this is how they have to get into the public schools. And this is just another form of Sharia law. It's to proselytize. It's called dawah. And this is what they do. And this is what it comes down to. And this is what's so comical. Why didn't they just do another report on dawah? So this whole report is senseless. You know, now we're talking about the religious accommodations at public schools. Those two words don't go together. They just don't go together. So what's going to have to happen eventually is, you know what, it's either all or nothing. And it should be nothing at this point. If you can't have all religions inclusive, if you can't have a little bit of every religious, you know, whatever symbolism in school, then there should be none. because this is tit for tat. It's the Muslim saying, well, they have this, we want that, or they have this, we want that. It's ridiculous. It's out of control. You know, you can't have pepperoni pizza for your kids on Fridays anymore because Muslims can't eat pork. You know, so don't give your kids pepperoni pizza. You know, but you can't take it out of the school because, oh, they can't even look at pork. They can't even look at a pig. Oh, my God. Come on. That just isn't the case. This is ridiculous, these rules that they make up as they're going along. So then we've got, you know, the whole holiday thing. And a couple of weeks ago we talked about this teacher who hadn't even been tenured yet. She was at a school in Chicago for less than a year, and she wanted to take off a month to go to Hajj. And they said, well, no. You know, you don't have enough time to go. So she sued the school district. And this is what, you know, this is what it's leading up to. If you don't give us our holidays, well, we're going to end up suing you. Well, then the schools just need to take the bull by the horns and say, well, again, go for it. You're going to have to sue us because we can't do this. We can't oblige every single little thing that every single religious group needs. So then just say, forget it. Nobody, you know what, you don't get religion in school, then there's nothing. But don't try to sneak it in your culture because that's not going to work either. And that's what they're good for too. Well, we're not going to talk religion then, but then when you hit world social studies or, you know, geography or, you know, culture, up comes Islam again because their religion is their culture. And this is they're very good at this. They talk about excused absences and how their children sometimes might have to take 3 days off, but, you know, sometimes it's only a day because they go by lunar calendar. So every year their holidays would change. So there would be nothing set in stone that they need this particular day off every year because it's a holiday for Muslims. Instead, the holidays are done on a lunar calendar, which, you know, they rotate. They seem to be different times of the year. Ramadan is never the same time every year. So how do you accommodate something like that? It could be held during a time when tests are required to be taken. You know, every school has that period of time that you can't miss school because that is the time when the tests are given. Well, then, you know, our kids have to make them up another time. Well, if they can't, they can't. So this, again, you know, you talk about the implementation of Sharia law, and we touched on it last week of how it's doing it. Well, this is a huge, huge way of how Sharia law is creeping into the public school system. And this is what amazes me. It's always about church and state. You know, there's that separation of mosque and state. And that isn't so. And I read something the other day that was really, really kind of fascinating. It said, okay, if you really, really want the separation of church and state in the United States, let's start with all the Muslim cab drivers. Guess where their licenses come from? Oh, the cities, the government. So I guess that means you can't pray. You can't park your cab and go pray 4 or 5 times a day, because you're on a government license. So, you know, if you really want to start getting into that, well, we can do that. Oh, and by the way, this is something that I just read. New York City now removes their no parking signs for Muslims on Friday so that they can park without getting tickets. Arr! All right, anyway, we're going back to this report, which is just ridiculous. But anyway, we're talking about now the hijab and other religious head coverings. I get it. I get if you're a modest girl, you know, especially the high school girls, if they've chosen to fulfill the doctrine of Islam, if they chose to live this life, I get it, okay? Not so much in grade schools. I think that's probably more on the parents, you know, makes the parents happy than it does the kids happy. In general, kids do, you know, get looked at if they show up with a big hijab or a burqa. Some of these, some of the sects in Islam even make their children wear these prayer dresses, which looks like a white hooded sheet, literally. It zippers all the way up the front, and it's got a pointed little top, you know, pointed little hood to it. So it's, you know, of course kids are going to get made fun of. They don't have the choice. So they're talking about, you know, the religious headgear in schools, and you know, when they have to be removed. You know, if you've got kids going into a school that has magnetometers or people checking kids coming in for weapons, of course they're going to say, we got to touch your hijab. Well, guess who gets offended by that? So that's, you know, that's another rule that's going to be out the window. No more checking people. Same thing when they go through airports. The only problem is that public schools deny students to wear, non-Muslim students, to wear anything that depicts any religious belief. We've seen it on the news. It's all over the news when it happens. You know, kids that might wear a cross on a shirt or say something about, you know, God loves you. Lately, they've been under fire if they, you know, say God bless America. They wear a certain flag or a military emblem. They're usually sent home because it's offensive, or it could be offensive. This is nuts, but it's okay for a Muslim to walk in school with a hijab to express their religious belief. It's one way or the other. So there we go again. You know, do we allow this to continue to go on in public schools and public arenas? Or do we just say, you know what, it's not going to happen to anybody. It's just not going to happen. As it is, the Pledge of Allegiance, which is nothing except it says the word God, the Pledge of Allegiance is not being allowed to be spoken in hundreds of schools, if not thousands of schools across the country, because there's that word. And then, you know, newsflash this morning, students at a particular grade school somewhere in this country, I didn't catch the name of the school, were singing Silent Night, but they had to take the religious words out. You know, it just is mind-boggling. What's left of Silent Night if you take all the religion out of it? It's like every other word, you know, silent, night, can't say holy, night, calm. I mean, how do you sing that song without saying a religious word? That's just silly. So why bother singing the song? You know, pick Santa the Rudolph or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or something, you know? So here we go again to daily prayer. The First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution prevents the state from sponsoring any religious or prohibiting the free exercise of religion. This means that students may schedule their classes or be permitted time during the school day to perform their prayers. Students who wish to receive this type of accommodation should coordinate this with school officials and should not simply take unauthorized breaks. Oh, yeah, okay. You know, what 12-year-old or 13-year-old it would rather go pray than go, like, in the boys' room and do something stupid or go outside and, like, do something stupid? Of course, nowadays in these schools, they're so locked down, I don't know if they're able to do that. But, you know, come on, 12, 13-year-old boy, you know, I've said this before, they may be Muslim, but they are still human. And they still have, you know, the tendencies that all children do. So, you know, how do you tell them, well, you have to go pray right now, Johnny? I'm sorry, Muhammad. It's that time of the day. Well, Mama, I want to go see what the kids are doing. No, you have to go pray. Yeah, I'm not so sure 12-year-olds are going to go for that. It just is not usually the norm for a 12-year-old to want to do something like that. So again, you know, where does that end? You know, when we're talking the Constitution and freedom of speech and your free exercise of religion, where does that end? Where does it begin? Where is that line for everybody else? It's being defined very clearly by the Muslim Brotherhood where the line is, but not so much. It's becoming more and more blurred for every other religious group. Can you imagine if we had to honor every single religion that's in this country, if we had to honor their days off? I really would like to know that. I'd like to know what a calendar would look like. You know, between Mormons, Hindus, Sikhs, Buddhists, Muslims, Jews, Christians, Catholics. I don't know. That could be interesting. I mean, that calendar could be like so polka dotted, like the kid would like go to school once a week. You know, so where does it end? I guess it's all or nothing. I don't know, but that could be the answer. But the Muslim Brotherhood is doing a pretty good job right now of dictating in your public schools what's going to happen. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative – You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want to go to Supply Depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot banner, Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution where America always wins. And we'll be back.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
Prevent your child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at TeaPartyCommunity.com.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com.
Welcome back to conservativenationmedia.com. This is Daily Roll Call, and I'm your host, Kathy Hinners. The number to call in our last half hour is 718-305-716. And we've been talking about Duck Dynasty tonight and the Muslim and probably backing this whole debacle that's happening over at A&E. And then we got into the report that was just released on bullying. And it's kind of a natural progression because this is what they do best. You know, how do they come out and embrace the homosexual community, which they do? I mean, Muslims are all over the place. You know, they are embracing homosexuals because Allah says to be tolerant. And then we showed you three different examples of audio clips from well thought of, you know, people in higher positions throughout the country, different areas of the country, basically saying, well, yeah, Muslims need – or not Muslims, homosexuals need to die. So very much a dual personality, if you will, with the way the Muslims are – on the public face is one thing, behind closed doors is quite the other. And then CARE does this ridiculous report. I can only imagine how much of public money went into this report. But CARE does say that they are the largest grassroots organization in this country. And we know that they're Hamas. We know that they're Muslim Brotherhood. But anyway, they come out with this ridiculous report. They ask 471 kids in 21 counties, you know, what they think about getting called names and things like that. And clearly the numbers don't rank up to what they want them to, apparently, because then they go on for the real reason, which is to get into the public school system and teach about Islam. That's what they're supposed to do, and that's what they're doing, and they're doing a very good job of it. But it also fits into what is known as Sharia law. Every time we make an accommodation in this respect, it comes down to the fact that it is basically another door open for Sharia law. We talked about Sharia law last week. But before we get into some of the things with Sharia law, I would love to know if anyone else saw this, and I will make sure that it's posted. It is on, I believe it was on Huffington Post, which is a rag, which is just a ridiculous, I don't even call it journalism. It's just out there. It's online. But I think what, you know, you want to talk about being offended. A group of Muslims decided during what they called a Friendsgiving instead of Thanksgiving. They had Friendsgiving, whatever. And then they decided to create a picture of the Last Supper. And it's all with Muslims. And I have gotten a lot of emails where people said that it is just, it's disgusting. It's just, it's disgraceful. It's pure mockery of the Last Supper, the picture of the Last Supper. And then in the Huffington Post, it says that some people, well, apparently a lot of people have said, oh, I can only imagine. That's what the Last Supper must really have looked like because of the Arabness and the darkness to the skin. You know what? It's really, and I'm a Catholic, and probably not a very good one, but this was offensive. You know, looking at a picture of, you know, Jesus and the Last Supper means a lot to a lot of people, and then you have this. The Muslims clearly, clearly mocking the picture of the Last Supper by making themselves out to be Jesus, you know, and clearly, I just found it to be distasteful and disgusting. And, you know, nobody else apparently sees it that way. But it is. And you know, where is the outrage? Where is the outrage of the Christians? Where is the outrage of the leaders of the Christians? Nowhere. Oh, they just, that's the expression, that's freedom of expression, that's art. Well, you know what? If we do that, can you imagine if that was a picture of Muhammad? There'd be riots in the street right now. We are going to head over and see what we got here on the line. We're going to take a caller here. Hey, welcome to Daily Roll Call.
Hey, this is Barack Obama.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, you there?
Hi, this is Barack Obama.
Hey, Barack, how are you?
How are you? I have confidence in the American people.
There?
Hi, this is Barack Obama.
You have confidence.
You have confidence.
Oh, go ahead.
I
Let's
have confidence
hear this one.
About
go
the American
ahead.
Economy.
Let's hear this one. And what else do you have
We're
to say?
We're glad you're back home.
And what else do you have to say?
Should I be at home
okay.
making cookies?
Okay.
Come after me.
Actually, aren't you in Hawaii for your 17-day vacation?
For your 17-day vacation? My wife, Michelle, is just terrific. Kobe Bryant is the best player in the world. Let me finish my point here, Charlie. I just fundamentally disagree.
Well, it's been nice having Barack Hussein Obama on the show. You must have heard the word Muslim Brotherhood and decided to join us. Thank you for calling in. That was good. That was really good. Whoever that was seems to have it timed pretty well with different answers. I like that. Thank you for that call. But anyway, as you can see, you know, this is where we're at with, you know, one particular group offending another, and depending on the group, they get more play and more outrage than others. And, you know, take a look at this painting or picture on Huffington Post. I think you can just probably even Google it. It's called The Muslim Last Photo, offers an interfaith tribute to Da Vinci's masterpiece. And we've talked about this word interfaith before. That is a coined term by the Muslim Brotherhood. And, you know, it's tossed around as much as Islamophobia is. It's just silly. It's just not such thing when it comes to this true interfaith interactions between the Muslims and anybody else. So, but that, you know, I found the photo to be offensive. I thought, really, how dare they mock anybody else's religion? And like I said, if this were a photo of Muhammad, especially, you know, God forbid there'd be a dog around it, there'd be riots. You know, there were riots in the street when a Dutch artist posted some pictures, some cartoons about Muhammad, and people died, including the artist. Theo van Gogh was gunned down because of his cartoons. And, you know, what's so funny about that is American media wouldn't even dare to show those cartoons for fear. Now, they say for fear of offending someone. Well, it's more like a fear of getting their head chopped off when they came out of the studio. So, you know, let's be honest about that. But it's just you can truly see where the scales are being tilted. You know, they're being tipped, obviously, in the wrong direction here. But that's okay. Anyway, I just want to remind everyone that all of us at Conservative Nation Media are proud to bring you our second annual Christmas Eve music and kids extravaganza special on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, starting at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on Christmas Eve. You can listen to hours of great traditional American music live or download it to listen when you need to be reminded of the true glory and meaning of Christmas. And you can only get it from our website, conservativenationmedia.com. Don't forget to have your kids write Santa a letter from our website, or go to Santa Claus at conservativenationmedia.com, and Santa will send you back a personalized email within 48 hours, even though he's very busy right now. From all of us at Conservative Nation Media to all of you, the warmest and most joyous Merry Christmas, and thank you for listening. And really, it's something that I've been looking forward to. Since I heard that they were going to, you know, have this music, and it's supposed to be the real old-fashioned Christmas music. You know, there's no, you know, like rap Christmas stuff. There's no, you know, Mariah Carey or any of today's music. It's supposed to be the real old-fashioned original Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and all those songs. So I've been really, really looking forward to this. So I know where, you know, I'm going to be tuning in on Christmas Eve, which is coming. It certainly is coming. And here we are talking about Sharia law. I told you in the beginning, I tried to find some mellow stories. I tried to find some good stories, some stories that would be uplifting and might make you think differently about the Muslim Brotherhood. And I couldn't find any. I just couldn't find any. So if you know of any good stories about the Muslim Brotherhood, please feel free to email me. My email's right on my website, dailyrollcall.com. And point out those good, warm feelings from the Muslim Brotherhood for me for Christmas. So anyway, we're talking about now how the progression of Sharia law, you know, has kind of been working its way through our various systems, you know, various aspects of society. You know, in the Muslim Brotherhood document, the manifesto, which is called the Strategic Goal for North America, we've talked about it before, and they have laid out the plan of how they will eventually rule the UK and the United States of America. And I've said it a million times, that do you do when someone hands you their playbook? Another team gives you their playbook, or you find it in the locker room and start looking through it, and you're like, whoa, look at all these plays. Now we're going to know how to take the offense. Now we know how to beat them. They've told us what they're going to do. This is awesome for Friday night's football game. This is great. Now we know how to, like, win. Well, they've done that. They've given us their playbook, and we're looking at it, and we're just like, oh, they can't be serious. No, this doesn't really mean that. But they're doing it. They are doing it brilliantly. They don't need bombs and guns and tanks and cities to take over the United States. They'll do it from within. And they are doing it from within. They're in the White House. They're everywhere you turn. They're just so antithetical to our way of life that we haven't even caught on yet. Even though it is antithetical, we just haven't seemed to caught on to the fact that this is really happening. And Sharia law is completely got its foot in the door. And we just keep opening the door instead of slamming it on the foot until it, like, falls off. We just welcome it. And then we, like, caress it and make it feel better because we don't want to offend it. So we let it in. And that's just not the way it's supposed to be. If they were in our cities with tanks and guns and bombs, we'd say we're at war. We need to do something. Call out the military. Get the law enforcement involved. People, take your arms. We're at war. That's why they didn't do that. They're brilliant. They're slow. They're patient. They've had this plan for years. And they know that they don't need to do anything but what they're doing. All right, we're going to take this final break. We'll be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Hey, Billy.
Yeah?
Do you want to go to the state fair?
Yeah.
Do you want to ride the roller coaster?
Yeah.
The big one?
Yeah.
The one with the reverse flip?
Yeah!
Well, you can't. You see, Billy, when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have done with it, including going to the state fair.
Oh, man.
Cheer up. This year, your parents will make it right. They're going to visit EnergySavers.gov, where they'll get tips on how to save energy and money. Then they'll add extra insulation and get a few of those Energy Star appliances. They could save hundreds of dollars a year. And you know what, Billy?
What?
They'll take you to the state fair next year.
But I want to go this year.
I know you do, Billy. I know you do. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
This holiday season, try buying a gift that can really make a difference in someone else's life. Buy your friend, family member, or coworker a goat and help fight hunger in South Sudan. To do so, visit goatsfortheoldgoat.com. There you can buy a goat and also shop for beautiful merchandise made by actual women from South Sudan. One click of a button this holiday season could mean the difference between nourishment and hunger for people who often go days without eating. Goatsfortheoldgoat.com. Again, that's goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Welcome back to Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com. This is Kathy Hinner as your host, and we are in the final about 10 minutes left to go here, and I see somebody's comparing me saying Sharia law is in this country is like believing in, what is it, chemtrails. Oh, my goodness. Well, you either haven't been listening or you are into hookah a little bit more than you should be. So, you know, you maybe need to start listening a little bit more often and get that head up out of the sand or out of the hookah bar. But anyway, we have been talking about Sharia law, and it is obvious that it is in this country. It has taken a hold in this country in several different states in several different ways. So to say that it is like chemtrails is kind of, I won't say the word I want to say, but it's kind of ridiculous. So if you got something to say, give me a call, 718-305-7176. It is late in the show, so we won't be able to really talk about it, but I would put this out to you to listen next week and call in and say what you got to say. But anyway, so we've been talking about how Sharia is creeping in, and actually at this point it's kind of running, and it's not even creeping in anymore. And you can see in the report by CARE, through the accommodations and through the requests of the Islamists in this country, that it is very prevalent, and it is their way or no way. And at some point, though, the school districts in particular, especially public schools, are going to have to take the bull by the horns, and they're going to have to say, enough is enough. We're not going to do this anymore. You'll have to sue us. And CARE will sue you. But good news, because the Christians are going to start doing the same thing. You know, it's going to take two to tango. And that's what it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to who's got the deeper pockets, and you can't fight the Saudis because they've got the money. But, you know, if you can file a lawsuit, so can we. And I think that's what's going to have to happen. There's going to have to be some strong Christian groups, Jewish groups, whatever it takes to go up against and say, well, wait a second. If you allow this, then we're going to sue you for allowing that. And it certainly can't be through the ACLU. We've already talked about them, how they are pretty much in bed with the Islamists, so it's not going to happen. But, you know, when you look at something so offensive, like the Muslims' tribute to the Last Supper, if that were Muhammad with a dog sitting next to it, there would be riots in the streets of all the cities in this country right now. Because as much as they'd like to say that they are disciplined and that's over in the Middle East, it is not. It is the same doctrine. The same doctrine of Islam goes in Middle East countries as it does in the United States. There may be small cultural changes or differences, but the doctrine of Islam is exactly the same. So for a Muslim here in America to say, oh, that's over there, is hypocritical and is lying, because that is not the case. So Sharia law is and has been being implemented in different ways in this country. And the biggest way that it will be eventually implemented, and we've talked about this before, is from the OIC and the UN. It's called Resolution 1618. Which is the defamation of religion law. However, it has no other religion in mind but Islam. You can't offend anyone that speaks, you know, you can't offend any Muslims. So, you know, what's next? Prison? Prison because you disagree with the doctrine of Islam? Maybe they ought to start talking to the Christians that are being slaughtered, the families of the Christians that are being slaughtered throughout the world. But, oh, that's over there. That's not here. So that's different. That's somehow different. Like, it's acceptable that Christians are being slaughtered in other parts of the world. But that's over there. That's a different type of Muslim, really. There's a lot of Muslim Somalians from Minnesota that have gone back to Somalia and blown themselves up. But that's not here. That's over there, even though they lived in Minnesota. So to say things such as Sharia law is like a contrail, I really think you've been smoking hookah. And maybe next week you'll have the spine to call and debate that. Because right now we only have a few minutes left, so we can't. But I somehow don't think you'll do that. But that's okay. We're not going to worry about that. But anyway, with Sharia law, under Sharia law, there is no freedom of the press. So MSNBC might make it. Fox News will not. There is no equality of peoples. A non-Muslim or a kafir is never equal to a Muslim. There's no equal protection under Sharia for different classes of people. Justice is dualistic. One set of laws for Muslim males, different set of laws for women and non-Muslims. There are no equal rights for women. They say, yes, there are. It's just those Muslims over there practice Islam differently and make their women wear burqas and they can't drive and they get stoned and all this other stuff. But that's over there. That's not here. Women can be beaten, but only lightly. A non-Muslim cannot bear arms. Maybe that's a subject for next week. A Muslim cannot bear arms. That's interesting. There's no democracy, since democracy means that a non-Muslim is equal to a Muslim. Their form of democracy is not our form of democracy. It is not freedom of speech. It is not freedom of religion. It is not freedom to do any of the things that we do in this country. It is quite contrary. They are not allowed to obey man-made law. Everything comes from Allah, hence Sharia law, the path, the way, the Islamic way of living. So they can't follow the Constitution according to their religion. And like I said before, it's very antithetical. They don't match. So how does a Muslim properly live in the United States? Non-Muslims are dhimmis, which are basically third-class citizens. You pay a tax, what's called a jizya. It's like a protection tax, like an old mafia thing. Hey, you want to stay alive, you pay us a tax or you convert. God forbid you're a homosexual, we're going to find a cliff and throw you off. There is a really good book that if you don't understand Sharia law, you should probably look into it. It is basically very simple. It's called Sharia for Non-Muslims by Dr. Bill Warner. It is an excellent book for those of you that don't grasp the idea of Sharia law. Sharia law is based on the principle that they shall live by everything that Muhammad did, the Sunnah and the Hadiths. To be a good Muslim, you must follow that. And it dictates all aspects of life. Very, very much contrary to the way we live here. Whether you're a Christian or Jew, you live a good religious life. You believe in God, and you do what you do to make an example, a good example. But it's not necessarily shoved down the throats of everybody else. Nowhere does it say that if you don't become this, you become that. So let's not compare things here to Sharia law. So anyway, we're going to wrap this up. We talked about the Duck Dynasty. And maybe send me some emails to tell me what you think about that and how freedom of speech, is whether it's alive or not. And it'll be interesting to see this week how A&E proceeds, whether the whole family walks or whether they cave in and they give him back his job. It'll be very interesting to see what the groups have to say about that. So we've got a little less than a week before Christmas. And don't forget to listen to the special on Christmas Eve on conservativenation.com. And I wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas. Enjoy the time with your friends and family. And we will see you back here next Friday. And have a Merry Christmas.